Welcome back to That Damn Sports Podcast, man.
That Damn Sports Podcast.
This is a big one for the boys.
I have a microphone.
First of all, yeah, David has a microphone. it is me, your host, Austin Gunnels, with my co-host, David Saliba, the D and the A and Damn. Sadly, Mikey is busy at the moment. He couldn't be on with us, sadly, but he will be back next week. We'll have all three of the boys back for next week's episode. But the major news for this episode is, David, we have a NBA basketball player joining the podcast, Jordan Bowden. Just to explain for those who maybe don't know who Jordan Bowden is, first of all, NBA player. He plays for the Nets organization. He's currently with the G League team, the Long Island Nets. Had an amazing career in Tennessee, the University of Tennessee. He's top 25 all-time in scoring at the University of Tennessee. He's one of only four Volunteers to total 1,000 points, 450 rebounds, and 200 assists. Two NCAA tournament appearances, was a key member in their 2018-2019 campaign that made it to Sweet 16 and was number one in the country for about 2 months straight. He has an overall record of 90-45 at Tennessee. The guy is a huge name for Volunteer fans, and he's going to be a big name in the NBA here soon. We have no doubt about it, and we are going to get him on here at the end of the episode, which is going to be very exciting for all of us. So,
hopefully he won't forget about us when he's famous and successful and such.
That's the prayer. But before we can really get to that, and also before we really get started, I just want to remind you guys, if you want to go back and watch any of our previous episodes, you can catch that on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any of your podcast streaming platforms. If you follow us on social media, that it's at That Damn DAM Sports Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook. Go give us a like, go give us a sub, a follow, all of the above. Share the page. The boys are really starting to make moves, and today is a huge stepping stool for That Damn Sports Podcast. So, but before we get to Jordan Bowden, let's talk some major news that broke today and over the past couple of days. For one, we'll go with the one that broke not as recent, but still recently. Aaron Rodgers re-signs with the Green Bay Packers. Now, I will say re-signs loosely because he did tweet something out today that was weird. And I will pull the tweet up here in a second. But basically what was said was he didn't sign anywhere, but he would be playing with Green Bay next year.
What the hell? I didn't even know that. I thought that he had signed something. I saw something that said he was getting $50 million a year for 4 years.
He tweeted this 2 hours ago.
What? Said,
hey, everyone. Just wanted to clear some things up. Yes, I will be playing with the Packers next year. However, reports about me signing a contract are inaccurate, as are the supposed terms.
Wow.
As are the supposed terms of the contract I signed, in quotation marks. I'm very excited to be back year 18. So he will be returning. He will be returning. We know that. But apparently he has not signed anything with the Packers.
Hey, all I know is Aaron Rodgers and his toxic girlfriend are living on to at least another year.
It carries on. I called back to episode 14. They are like the toxic couple that never will end up breaking up, even though they should. Honestly, I don't know if that's the best move for Aaron Rodgers because he.
I mean, it's not the worst.
Yeah, no, I don't think leaving's the best option because you still got. This is going to keep Devontae Adams around. That's the best receiver in football. Then you have a top five, top 10 running back in Aaron Jones. You got AJ Dillon as a 1-2 punch in the backfield. You got a pretty decent defense. Actually, a pretty good defense in that respect. He's got a good offensive line. He's got everything he really needs to win. They just have to put and they show that they can win all regular season. He just has to prove it in the playoffs now. But he is coming back. So I guess we'll see. There's really not much more to say on it because he's been there for so long and they're not really adding anything else. And they know that they are a top team in the NFL. They just have to win come playoff time.
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. And I hope that they can. God, I hope they can. I want to see Aaron Rodgers do something more. I don't want to see him pull a Brett Favre, you know, where you have one of these amazing careers. Like Philip Rivers, I mean, no one even really talks about him, but he's one of the best quarterbacks of all time, arguably. And no one talks about him because he never got done in the playoffs. Now, Aaron Rodgers has won a Super Bowl, but I would love to see him do a little more.
And he won that Super Bowl, I mean,
I mean, he's Aaron Rodgers. You know, we're holding him to a much higher standard than would anyone else. Like, we're talking about it like he hasn't done anything, which obviously he has.
And that's the crazy thing, David. You got to think about this. We hold Aaron Rodgers to such a high degree.
If he doesn't win a Super Bowl, we're like, what's going on, man?
But imagine – it's interesting the way we talk about Aaron Rodgers, because imagine another quarterback who hasn't won a Super Bowl in over a decade, and we still talk about that quarterback for as long as we do Aaron Rodgers, and as high up as we talk about Aaron Rodgers. It just doesn't happen. So it's pretty
cool. Well, he was the MVP last year.
Yeah. I just want to see him do something with it now. And so hopefully they can figure it out, because, I mean, they were the one seed in the NFC this year. So he's basically going to have the same team around him as he did last year. They're still going to be one of the best teams in the NFL. Now it's just going to be a waiting game. The whole regular season, we're going to see him do well, and everyone's going to be like, okay, this is the Packers. We know this is what they do. But we're not going to really have an idea or a grade on Aaron Rodgers until we see what they do come playoff time. And at this point, with the amount of NFC championships they've been to, that doesn't cut it. It's got to be a Super Bowl. And arguably, I don't even think a Super Bowl appearance is enough. They need to win the thing. But it is big news, though, because now we know he will be returning. That was a big question mark, whether he was going. But, you know, I'm getting kind of sick of him, because you send out that cryptic post on Instagram thanking the organization, thanking everybody, like you're leaving, and then you come back and apparently you're staying, but then you still want to put a tweet out that's saying, I haven't signed anything. So I don't know. I'm getting kind of tired of the games. If you're not going to win the Super Bowl, man, you need to do something if you're going to act this way.
You know, and I guess I get it. I mean, I don't get it, but if I were to put myself in his shoes, you know, I wouldn't like it if people were putting out false reports about my life. I wouldn't like it if people were going around saying a bunch of stuff that's untrue. So, you know, he's just vocal about it. And I'm sure stuff like that happens to athletes all the time, because everyone wants to be the first person to get everything out there. So, I mean, I understand where he's coming from. Hopefully, I guess, you know, the bigger question too is, you know, where's Devontae Adams going to be? I think I saw something earlier about him still being there as well. Hopefully that's true.
Yeah, I think that's still, they don't really know. But I think with Aaron Rodgers coming back, he's definitely going to stay. I mean, at least for next year. Because, you know, Devontae Adams is a great receiver. There's no shaming Devontae Adams. And I think if he were to play anywhere else, he'd still be a great receiver. But imagine some of these other guys, if they had Aaron Rodgers their whole career, I mean, we might be talking about them being one of the best.
Yeah, I know. If I was Devontae Adams, I sure as hell wouldn't go anywhere.
No, I mean, you've built your career with this guy as your quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd want to take a chance anywhere else. And I think Devontae Adams and all the Packers organization, and even Aaron Rodgers, knows they are one of the best teams in football, and they can win a Super Bowl. They just have to do it. I mean, like, that's what it comes down to. There's really no need to change. I mean, I feel like if I were the Packers, I would play for the Packers. I don't want to stay too, because we know that we're knocking on the door. So I think they're going to bring back most everybody, because I think they all believe that the loss of the 49ers was a fluke, and that they should have won that game easily. They just had a bad day at the office, but I think they're maybe optimistic and thinking it's not going to happen again. But we know we can get there. I think the matchup of the Packers and the Rams. I mean, who knows? If say the Packers dominate the 49ers. And make it to the NFC Championship and play the Rams. Maybe the Packers have motivation. Maybe we're not even talking about Matt Stafford. Maybe we're talking about Aaron Rodgers having the Super Bowl. I mean, so I think with that, all that being said, that team knows, the players, the organization, they all know they're capable of doing it. Now they just have to execute and actually do it at the end of the day.
We're going to find out.
But another, I think, bigger news that broke, and this news that I didn't think was going to happen this quickly, but I had a feeling it was likely, but I didn't know it would necessarily be here. And, you know, last podcast, Mikey said Russell Wilson ended up in the Steelers. I said, I think the Giants. Well, we know who it is now, and it is the Denver Broncos. And now the Broncos become an instant contender, because they have the defense to do it, they have the running game to do it, and they have the receiving core to do it.
Bro, this is exciting. This is exciting. And, you know, growing up, I was somewhat of a Broncos fan, because my dad lived in Colorado for a period of time. And other than the fact that when they beat my Panthers in the Super Bowl, they haven't really given me anything to enjoy watching. So this is going to be cool to see. Hopefully Russell Wilson doesn't bring too much Hollywood drama with him. But
I think we're good with there. I think Russell Wilson is pretty laid back. I think he started to maybe get a little antsy here towards the end of his tenure in Seattle. But I think for the most part, as time in Seattle, he's been a pretty chill guy. Like, you don't have too many negative headlines around him.
I agree. I just think that it's not even the headlines. Sometimes, you know, it's hard to put a finger on what's going on behind the scenes in the locker room. Yeah. And with guys that you feel like are more worried about their status than just being with their team. You know, I'm by no means a professional athlete, but it seems as if they tend to, or just in general, the best organizations, regardless of whether it's football or whatever you're trying to be successful at, are best whenever they work together and it feels like a family and it has a solid culture. And for your quarterback, the quarterback's kind of like the head of the family. So hopefully he'll be able to come in and lead that team. I mean, he's obviously won Super Bowls before, so.
Yeah, I think this is massive for the Broncos, because like I said, they're going to be a contender, other than the fact they are now playing, and they were already playing, but now you add the best division in football. David, I'm going to list off the quarterbacks of this division, and imagine playing, you have to play these guys twice a year. Derek Carr. That is no laughing stock. I mean, Derek Carr is a good quarterback and is consistently putting the Raiders in winning positions. Derek Carr, maybe the worst in the division, and that's saying something. Then you have Justin Herbert, you have Patrick Mahomes, and now you have Russell Wilson. So the only caveat to all this is great and all, but man, that's a gauntlet of a schedule to get.
Woo!
Gauntlet of a schedule. Holy cow! You know, like. You got to play. You got to see Patrick Mahomes twice, Justin Herbert twice, Derek Carr twice. I mean, Russell Wilson's great. Don't get me wrong, but man, if he were able to get this team to a high seed playoff berth, or even a playoff berth in general, and maybe take them somewhere, maybe take them to an AFC championship or something, man, that is speaking volumes to the power of Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson's great, but he's no Justin Herbert.
I knew you were gonna say something.
Hey, can we just talk for a second about – that just reminded me how Mikey predicted Matt Stafford. Did he predict the Rams as his dark horse to win the Super Bowl? And, like, the first episode that we ever did, or second episode that we ever did?
I would have to go back and look, but he did pick Matt Stafford as a dark horse MVP candidate.
Okay. Maybe not Super Bowl. I think he might have picked Cowboys or something.
I wouldn't pick the Cowboys. Good.
Whatever. Anyway.
I think what the Broncos need to do now – and while I do think the Broncos have a good receiving core, they do need to amp it up a little bit. You have Jerry Jeudy as your main target, but he isn't – I mean, I don't trust him being healthy. I think he's made of glass. I don't trust him being healthy. You need to now go out and try to see what you can get as a big-name target, because he does have good guys. He's got Cortland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant. They just signed Tim Patrick to an extension. But I think you need a little more star power on that offense if you're going to get through the likes of – the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Raiders, you know, because you got in that division, if you're going to win that division, you got to compete in that division, you got to put up points, because those are all high powered offense, minus maybe the Raiders, but even they are able to put up a lot of points at times. So you know what you're getting from the Chargers, and you know what you're getting from the Chiefs.
And this should be nothing new for Russell Wilson, because he's coming from the NFC West, and the NFC West is consistently one of the best divisions in football, at least in recent times. And especially this past year, I mean, the Rams, the Cardinals, the Seahawks, and the 49ers. All of which, except honestly, the Seahawks were the worst team in that division.
Yeah.
The Cardinals at one time were considered the best team in the league. The Rams won the Super Bowl. And the 49ers almost made it to the Super Bowl.
That is a very valid point, David. A very good point, actually. I didn't really think about it.
Yeah, so he's going from what arguably the best division in football to now making another arguably best division in football. So this is what he does.
Let me ask you this: who would? And this is not me. I'm not picking sides here. I'm just asking you as your opinion. Out of those two, so if you're in either Russell Wilson's either in Seattle or Denver, which three quarterbacks would you rather go up against? Justin Herbert, Pat Mahomes, Derek Carr, or, I mean, maybe not quarterbacks-wise for the 49ers, but Jimmy G, Kyler Murray, and Matt Stafford.
Honestly, Whew.
I'm sorry. I don't want to go against Justin Herbert and Pat Mahomes. Those offenses are way too much. Way too much.
I mean, if we're just looking at it from a quarterback standpoint, I'm obviously going to go with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert just from a raw talent standpoint. But Kyler Murray, Matt Stafford, come on. Then Derek Carr and Jared. I would say Derek Carr is a tier above. What's his name? 49ers.
Jimmy G.
Jimmy Garoppolo. I want to say Jared Goff for some reason. As a tier above Jimmy G, at least after last season, the fact that Jimmy G can't stay healthy. So I would say I'd rather still be in the West probably than where he's headed. But, I don't know. That's tough. I mean, but, you know, it is an interesting thing to think about. He's definitely not unacclimated to playing in one of the best divisions, if not the best division in all of football.
Well, so before we close this topic, let me ask you real quick. What do you think is the ceiling for this Denver Broncos team this upcoming year playing in that division? How far do you think they can go realistically?
The ceiling?
Basically, as far as you think they could go on a realistic.
Yeah. No, I think they could – I think they're Super Bowl contenders on paper. I mean, if Russell Wilson can be Russell Wilson, you know, last year he didn't necessarily produce in all of the ways we're used to seeing him.
He was hurt for a while, but yeah.
He was, but, you know, so was Cam Newton. You know? So I think that – I mean, they have the running game. The only reason they were winning last year is because they would literally give the ball to Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams and run it down people's throats and just play really good defense, and they would roll over people. Like, sometimes they would literally win, like, they won some games like 30-something to less than 10 points. You know, they were dominant sometimes. And if you throw in a good quarterback in there that can keep them in the close games too, then it's going to be something scary.
Yeah. I personally think they're a playoff team, but I don't really know how far much else after that. I just don't think – they have a great defense, and I'm a big believer that defense is key. I think it's more important than most people give it credit for. I just don't see – I don't think they have – I think they have a good offense, but I don't think they have enough firepower around them to keep up with some of the likes of these offenses in the AFC. But that's my opinion there. Those are the big headlines. I'll say a little quick note because you're a Clemson fan. Mike Williams just signed an extension with the Chargers. It was like 3 years
ago. Yes, sir. Mike Dub.
Yeah, so I think that's
what – Oh, Mike Williams. I got his autograph when I was like 13 when his neck was broken. No one else recognized him that he was even on the team. And I was like – and I saw him with his neck brace on, and I was like, that's Mike Williams. Holy shit. Got his autograph. So shout out Mike Williams.
Yeah, he's doing well
up there.
Yeah, he is really doing well. And he's somebody that's weird. Like, he'll explode one game, like 3 touchdowns, close to 200 receiving yards. And then –
3 catches, 3 touchdowns.
And then the next game –
150 yards.
The next game is like 2 catches, 5 yards. And you're like, what? It doesn't make sense. I had him in fantasy, and I was like, yeah, he frustrated the heck out of me.
He's a true like XY receiver. You know, he plays on the outside. He makes those big plays, but he's not necessarily going to be the giant targets from week to week.
Well, Mike Williams, if you're listening, that is no shame. That is no hate. I'd love to have you on the podcast. You're welcome anytime you want, buddy.
Come on back to the 803.
Go Tigers, you know?
So. I saw that Instagram post, 803. Come on back.
Yeah, come on back to your boys. You know, like, hold it down for you, Mike. Okay, so now let's transition because I know everyone's itching to listen to Jordan Bowden. We got him about to be on here soon. Before we get into that, we wanted to make a little NBA transition because, you know, we got an NBA player coming on the podcast. Just kind of not really like a specific topic to go over, but more of the power rankings in the NBA, and just kind of give a little rundown of what we think in terms of the league right now. Number one on this is ESPN power rankings. Number one is the Phoenix Suns. I don't think there's any surprise here. They continue to win without Chris Paul and Devin Booker, who are out right now. Devin Booker with health and safety, and Chris Paul, I think it's a broken thumb, fractured thumb, or something like that. They're continuing to win, and that's a great team around. I mean, they're wing players with Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges. And then you got the big man holding down in DeAndre Ayton. Cameron Payne is playing outstanding. This Suns team is as deep as anybody in the league. And one thing that people don't forget is they are great defenders of the wing. Their wing players, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, those wingspans, those long wing defenders are so crucial in today's
game. And, yeah, people don't realize how important that is. That is the most terrifying thing I've ever went against. Whenever you are dribbling the ball down the court, especially when you're 5'9", little white guy, but whenever you're dribbling the ball down the court and you see somebody, it's something about the broad shoulders, too. The broad shoulders and the long arms, you're like, shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a day ahead of me.
Yeah.
And if you look throughout the top teams in the league, they all have wing defenders like that.
Yeah, and yeah, I think they're going to be a menace to play no matter who they go up against. So I think they're hands down the best team in the West, in my opinion.
Shout out Chris Paul. You know, something to be said for every team he's ever been a part of has good, successful years. And this is just the epitome of that. I'm happy for him.
Now, number two, and I'm just going to say it's number two so people don't say I'm biased. I'm just reading it off. The Miami Heat, okay? The Miami Heat, 43-22 right now, number one in the East. They've won 11 of their last 13. And, David, let me tell you something. Last week, the Heat played a four-game stretch.
Tell me.
This is all in 1 week. Played the Bulls. Then the very next day, played Milwaukee. Then a day later, or 2 days later, they played the Brooklyn Nets. And then 2 days later, they played the 76ers. They won three of those four, and the one they lost was to the Bucks by a point.
Okay, woo!
That is a gauntlet schedule. And then last night against the Houston Rockets, Victor Oladipo made his season debut, had 11 points, looked great. Markieff Morris is looking like he's going to return. This team is a scary, scary team come playoff time because of how truly deep they are. Tyler Hero has continued to drop about 25 since the All-Star break. Bam had 30 against the Nets. The Heat are looking really dangerous. I think they're the best team in the East right now. I will say I think the Bucks are very, very scary, and I don't want to play them. But I think currently right now, if we're looking power rankings-wise, the Heat are where they should be.
No, and they're scary more than just because they're very talented. I mean, if you look down their roster, I mean, Jimmy Butler, P.J. Tucker, Markieff Morris. I mean
– Kyle Lowry, Bam Adebayo.
I mean, but just those three players are notoriously just grindy, gritty, just in your face, like you, just players that you don't want to go against.
Right. Yeah, so Heat, I think, our dangerous team. I think this is a good ranking for them. All right, number three, we got the Memphis Grizzlies. You know, John Morant is continuing to do what he does. But they also have good guys around him that are also playing really well, too. The Grizzlies, though, they're playing really well. I mean, there's not much we can say, but they're being carried on by John Morant. John Morant is really the heartbeat of that team.
Can I just say how – I know I say this every time, but just how happy it makes me to see him do well. I don't know why. I don't think I'm alone here, but something about him, it's just like – it's just that spark. Like, it just makes me excited. I think he's probably the most fun player to watch in the league. And – what is this, his third season?
Third.
And he's averaging 28 points a game. I mean, top 10 in points, top 20 in assists. I mean, we're really witnessing something great here, potential future MVP. And, you know, I know I've said this on so many podcasts, but just watching them play together, watching not only Ja, but just that entire team, the way that they play for each other and the way that they interact with each other, you can tell that it's not just a bunch of talent. And it's kind of obvious, but it's been cool to watch them kind of build it from the ground up. They didn't have a bunch of big free agents come in. They didn't have a bunch of money. They just drafted, took their time, and they've built something really cool, and it's fun to watch. Maybe it has something to do with Dolph.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I think the reason people love to see Josh so successful right now is the fact that, one, he's from South Carolina. Shout out, so he's from Spartanburg. But then, so not highly recruited, somehow he slipped through the cracks. Murray State, he's an underdog there. Okay, that's when he gets noticed. But everyone's like, it's a cool story. He's from a small school. Then he goes to the draft, and don't get me wrong, he was highly talked about during the draft. But who overshadowed him the entire process?
Zion Williams.
And now you see what Ja continued to do again. I think that just makes him one that you love to watch, because it was almost like, you know, he's always been like an afterthought. And now it's like, you know, he is – now he's showing why he's one of the best players in the NBA.
That Damian Lillard effect. That Jordan Bowden.
Jordan Bowden effect, baby. Okay, We're going to go through two more. We're going to get to the top five. That was my plan. And then we'll talk about a team David wanted to talk about that is making a splash. Number four, the Milwaukee Bucks. There's not much more to say other than they're so scary. I don't ever want to play this team. And I love the Heat, and I think we're somebody that everyone should be scared of. But the Bucks are the team that I think we are scared of. And the way Giannis could just take over. I mean, when he want, if he – I it's crazy to me. I feel like they could be undefeated if they want. I feel like if Giannis every day was like, I want to win this game, they're going to win. It's like there's nothing you could do to stop him. I will say about Giannis, I do think he needs to quit shooting so much, like jumpers. I think he needs to just stick to what he's good at. But then on top of that, we always want to talk about Giannis. The other day, I don't remember who they were playing. I think it was the Suns. Yeah, I think it was the Suns. Chris Middleton exploded. I mean, Chris Middleton.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he was the reason they won that game.
Yeah, he explodes.
He had a record career high.
And then you got Drew Holiday. I mean, that team is deep. That's a team, if I'm being solely honest, unbiased as possible, as much as I think it'll be a great series, I think the Milwaukee Bucks are going to win the East, in my opinion. I think the Heat are going to take them to seven, but I think it will ultimately be the Bucks. I think the Giannis effect is just way too much for anybody to come up. And I honestly am going to go out on a limb here and say this as well. I think the Bucks are going to win another championship.
Hey, you already put your money on the Heat, so I'm not letting you forget that.
I know. And if the Heat win a championship, I will shed tears. I'll do whatever you want me to do. But I genuinely believe the Bucks are in for a back-to-back. And then five, the 76ers. And, you know, when we were talking to Mikey about the trade between the Nets and the Sixers, we were debating on who would win. And right now, it really is looking like it's the Sixers. Harden is doing what I said he would do. I mean, like the Clint Capella thing, only with now a better version of Clint Capella. They're 4-0 when Harden's in the lineup. They lost to the Heat, but Harden sat out. So, and you know that the Nets are about to fall to 10th in the East. So, I don't know. I think the Sixers are balling out. Embiid is, I think, the clear-cut MVP candidate right now. And James Harden is doing what I thought he would do in Philly.
Yeah. No, I got to say, even though we were high, we were probably higher on the Nets than we should have been, or at least I was, because, you know, just from looking at what James Harden is doing, at least comparatively, the Nets to the Sixers, looking at James Harden, this is the James Harden that I remember. This is the James Harden that used to be one of my favorite players in the league. And I think it has a lot to do with this is his backcourt now. And with Joel Embiid, like you were saying, Clint Capella, now he just has a better Clint Capella. Mm-hmm. And it's exciting to watch. It really is.
Yep. And then now the team that you wanted to mention and a team that people need to have on their radar, I agree with you. They have it at number 8th on here. I think that's fair because they had been struggling previously, but they really ramped it up here. The Boston Celtics. They have completely turned their season around. They started the year struggling. They had no rhythm about them. And now it's like they really put emphasis on defense. They have one of the best defenses in the league. Jason Tatum is just getting better and better every time I watch him. They just beat the Nets the other day with Kyrie, with KD. And now you got Jaylen Brown is what I think was made, in my opinion, I think Jaylen Brown is the most underappreciated player in the NBA. He is an all-star. I don't care what anybody says. Jaylen Brown is an all-star. And then you got pieces like Marcus Smart that's going to work his tail off on the defensive end. This team is a scary team, man. I know that I would not want to play him because at any point, Jason Tatum could just go say, we're going to win today.
Yeah.
Jaylen Brown, you never know. You never know.
Yeah, let's just talk about what Jason Tatum has been doing because, I mean, if you look at his numbers, even just – let's just go back like 5 or 6 games. He has 4 out of his last 6 games 30 points or more. His lowest scoring was 24. His highest scoring was 54. And that was last night against the Brooklyn Nets. And – this is fun to watch, especially, you know, I wasn't the highest. I've never really have been the highest on Jason Tatum, and I wasn't the highest on the Celtics. But it's kind of a slap in the face to me, not necessarily like I'm like was like the biggest advocate against them, or just I guess what I mean is it was just a big reminder to me of what the Celtics were before Kyrie Irving. Before Kyrie Irving, we were looking at this young group of guys. I mean, Marcus Smart. Let's not forget about him. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. I mean, these guys are very, very talented. And that didn't go away. And I think, you know, with some pieces like Al Horford, you know, we know he's getting older. And Robert Williams as well, you know, they have a bunch of good pieces to go along with it, and they're all starting to gel again. They don't have Kyrie in the mix. I think it's very interesting to see what they're going to do with the rest of their season. I don't know if they're necessarily title contenders, but
I wouldn't want to play them. To be honest,
right?
Now,
not the way they're playing right now.
You mentioned some pieces on the team.
They're what, 16-2? 16-2 in their last 18 games.
Something like that.
That's insane.
But I will say this. Something you mentioned where key players around Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown that are playing a role. And one of those players happens to be a guy named Grant Williams. He's playing –
yes, sorry. Totally forgot.
He's playing great – he's playing good minutes. He's one of those guys. He's always talking. He does the dirty work. And he had a teammate in college by the name of Jordan Bowden. And
– Oh, did he now?
We have Jordan Bowden about to join the podcast. And I'm sure he'll talk a little bit about Grant and his time with him in college. Like I said, Jordan Bowden, about to hop on, get an interview with him real quick, just to recap who he is, man. He's an NBA player for the Brooklyn Nets organization. He currently plays for the Long Island Nets of their G League. That's their G League team. He plays good minutes there. He's a key member of that team. He's top 25 all-time in the University of Tennessee scoring. He's one of four Tennessee players to total 1,000 career points, 450 rebounds, and 250 assists. Two NCAA tournament appearances, one that led to that they got to the Sweet 16. He was a key member of the 2018-2019 volunteer campaign that was number one in the country for about 2 months straight. And a fun fact about that team, they only had one loss to a team that was not ranked that entire year. That team was one of the best college basketball teams in recent memory. And then he had a total of a 90-45 record as a volunteer. This guy's a stud. He's going to be a household name soon. We have no doubt about it. So without
honestly, that team is the most prolific team in my mind of college basketball that wasn't just because of the names of who they were before they got to college. In my mind, honestly, in the past 5-10 years.
Well, yeah, you got Admiral Schofield, who plays for the Wizards, Grant Williams for the Celtics, Jordan Bone, who's playing in, playing overseas in Spain, and now you got Jordan Bowden, who is very, very close to being a full-time NBA player. He's a two-way player now. But without further ado, we got Jordan Bowden on the podcast. Let's get him in and get this thing started. What's up, man? Can you hear us?
What's up with y'all?
Jordan, how you doing?
What's up with it, man?
We're good, dude. Man, I just want to first of all say thank you, man. We really appreciate you being willing to hop on, man. I can't tell you, I made a lot of videos for a lot of people, and I've gotten not a lot of people show love when you're not offering anything for them. So I really do appreciate you hopping on for us.
Nah, most definitely, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for your time, for real.
Yes, sir.
And, David, you played rec basketball with one of Jordan's former teammates.
Yeah. Yeah, DJ. You know DJ Burns, I'm sure. He's from Clover, actually. I'm sure.
Yeah,
you know
that's my boy.
Yeah, DJ, we played against each other growing up, up until he switched over to playing at the academy somewhere else. But we played in like sixth grade together way back in the day. I haven't talked to him in a minute.
DJ killing now. He's doing big things.
Yeah, he is, man. And that's good to see, especially coming from where from. And also another thing, when I was looking at some of the stuff you've done or your places you've been, did you go to a school your senior year of high school in South Carolina?
Yeah, I went to a prep school in Greenville, South Carolina.
Okay, so you're right up the road from me. I actually go to Limestone University. It's in Gaffney, South Carolina. So it's not Greenville at all. But yeah, so we're all from South Carolina. How you like South Carolina?
It was cool. It kind of reminded me of Knoxville. In some parts of the area, but it was a pretty nice area. People was genuine, nice, and brought me in. So it all was fun.
That's good to hear, man. Yeah, we're really proud of our state around here. So like to hear that. But I guess we'll hop into it because we don't want to take up too much of your time. A question I like to listen to, and when I hear like athletes do interviews and stuff that I think is cool, is like growing up, who were your idols in terms of basketball? Like, what did you model your game after? Like, who just made you fall in love with the game?
When I was growing up, I modeled my game after, you know, Kobe. You know, I'm a big Kobe guy. I love Kobe. I love what he brings to the game, his mindset and how he approaches, you know, his business. You know what I'm saying? It's real business-like. And till this day, I play in Kobe's. You know, my basketball shoes are Kobe. So just what he does for the game. And when he died, man, it hurt. You know what I'm saying? It felt like a part of me left with him. And I just loved everything he did, you know, with his daughter, me. You know, I'm about to have a daughter myself. Okay. So just, you know, yeah, appreciate it, man. But just, you know, what he did for her and how he loved her and pushed her. And she wanted to be just like him. So Kobe is who I modeled my game after.
Heck yeah, man. That's and honestly, that's a great answer. I don't think anybody would fault you for that. I think a lot of people think the same way. And I know, I mean, I played basketball in high school, but nothing like you, obviously. And even when Kobe passed, it hurt. Like, I remember that day vividly. It genuinely hurt. I think it hurt everybody. Whether you played basketball or didn't matter what you did, I mean, it hurt. But, yeah, great guy to model game after. I mean, played basketball like it was a bit like it was a business, and that's why he was so great. But, yeah, man.
Yeah, so something I want to ask you. So you grew up in Tennessee, right? And so with you growing up there in Tennessee, was it more of a just like a being at home decision for you to go there, or was it more what you saw in Coach Barnes and obviously, you know, what he's building over?
I would say it was both. You know, me being from Knoxville, growing up there, going to the games when I was younger, seeing Chris Lofton and Wayne Chisholm and guys like that, you just, you know, you want to be there, especially being from there and growing up idolizing those guys as well. But especially with Coach Barnes, you know, what he's done over the past few years when I was there and even now to this day, he pushed me personally to the best of my ability, you know, on and off the court. He's a great guy off the court. You can come with him. You can come to him with anything on your mind and he will always, you know, be there for you. And just what he's doing now, you know, with the team now, they had a slow start this year, but just how they, you know, bounced back, you know, 15-0, 18-0 at home, you know, this past year. And yeah. I'm excited for those guys, and I know he's pushing those guys to be the best they can be.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You kind of just took my next question right away. Like, it's crazy because you guys almost came in together. I know he was there a year before you, and y'all came in together. And I mean, how much does it mean to you to see what you guys have been able to create, like Coach Barnes, and then you were there for 4 years, and obviously you left an impact there. You're top 25 in all time scoring at Tennessee, so like. It's just, I just want to know your opinion or what's your thoughts on how you see Tennessee now. Cause I mean, you guys took that program from, it was an average program to now it's a national powerhouse.
Yeah. But you know, guys like, I think a guy, Kevin Punter, he was there the year before I was there. And then Admiral, you know, them setting that foundation and then us, you know, getting there with Grant and Jordan Bone and those guys were just, you know, even building even more. And the legacy, you know, we left is, you know, unmatched, but I just, you know, see the culture is still building. You know, he's continuing to push those guys, and they're getting even better each and every year. And Coach Barnes is doing a great job.
Yeah, that's the guys you just named. I remember you said I can't remember his first name. You said Punter,
Kevin Punter.
Man, he used to get buckets. I remember watching him. He would get buckets, dude. Yes, I remember. It was a weird thing I used to do, but I used to like pretend like when I was working around a basketball court, I would pretend like I was a player or a team, and I'd be punter, and I'd be dropping 50. I remember. I mean, it was just because he got buckets, man.
Yeah, he's killing it overseas as well too. I think he got a big deal over there, and he's doing an even great job. He should be in the league, no question. So he's doing a great job overseas.
That whole team's gonna be in the league soon, huh?
Not for sure, most definitely.
Yeah, and then that team, a team that I think was that really speaks to Tennessee, and a team that everybody remembers is the team your junior year. So you had guys like you, Jordan Bone, Admiral Schofield, Grant Williams. I mean, those household names. And what y'all were able to do, you were number one in the country for weeks on weeks. Y'all took college basketball over by storm, man. What was different about that team? Like, because it was like when I watched you guys, it wasn't just watching a bunch of talented guys. It was watching a bunch of talented guys that played so well together.
It wasn't just a bunch of, like, big names. It was something special. Yeah.
So. I think it was just our bond together, you know, off the court. You know, we were tight. You know, we would always go places together, get food. The previous year, my sophomore year, going into that year, that summer after my freshman year, we did nothing but, you know, running.
Really? And
we had no basketballs. You know, Coach Barnes was kind of tough on us because we didn't make the tournament. So I think going through that and then my sophomore year, us, you know, before the season, preseason, we were 13th in the SEC. Predicted, ended up being regular season champion, split it with Auburn, And then just knowing what we could do, knowing that the hard work would pay off. And then that following year, like you said, my junior year, number one in the country, you know what I'm saying? You know, came short, you know, in the tournament, you know, in the Sweet 16, knowing we could have made it farther, but just knowing the growth we made that year, previous year, it was amazing, man. And that was my best, that was probably the best year, you know, my whole entire basketball career.
And yeah, and something I noticed about that year too was you were a starter for majority of your career, but that year you came majority off the bench. You're like a six man, but you were still putting up great numbers.
Coach Barnes, you know, I wasn't playing up to the best of my ability, like I knew, and then he brought me off the bench, which, you know, I didn't mind it at all. I just brought that spark off the bench and told myself, you know, since I ain't starting, let me be the sixth man of the year, you know. So I just had that, you know, had the mindset of, you know, whatever's best for the team, and it, you know, it worked out.
And, you know, like being a sixth man too, people, there's nothing wrong with that. One of my favorite players, Tyler Hero, he comes off the bench, and, man, he's one of our best scorers. I mean, he gets buckets, and he obviously he's a starter, but just that
starter, yeah,
bench, man, it's something special. And that, obviously, that's a huge, you play a huge role. I mean, having that, you got a great, you guys had a very star set starting five, but you come off the bench, yes, and putting up great numbers. Yeah, that's really important.
So you spoke a little bit earlier already just about the chemistry y'all had off the court, and it seemed like more than just the team. What would you say as far as that goes, or just in general, what would you say kind of your favorite memory or favorite part of that experience was?
Man, you know, I would just say just being with the guys, you know, each and every day, you know, traveling with them, you know, going through practices, you know, off, you know, when we on the court, you know, we would just always be together. And I would just say that bond we had, you know, it was like no other. And we still, you know, communicate with each other today, you know, text, mm-hmm, hit each other up, and it's a bond that will never break.
That's cool. Yeah. I know, just from growing up, the people that I'm closest with are people that I just spent weekends playing basketball with, and we were together 24/7. We are all still in touch.
I'm one of those.
So. We didn't quite make it to a playoff game in the March Madness and all that stuff, but we had a few sleepovers.
Oh yeah, that bond is, it can't break it, man.
So something I also want to ask you is I know you're up there in Brooklyn now. Who is the hardest player you've had to guard? Would you say it's someone up there, or maybe someone beforehand?
Man, you know, I'm a prideful guy. I wouldn't say it's, you know, anybody, you know, I can't guard, but the toughest, I'm gonna take it back to I would say college. I would say probably guy like Carson Edwards. He was a guy that was tough to guard. And I would say my freshman year, Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox.
Really? Yeah.
Those were two guys.
De'Aaron Fox.
Man, he was tall and fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the fastest player in the league, if I'm not mistaken. That, and watching those two in college, man, those guys were so fun to watch. They were so fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there's no shame in that at all. De'Aaron Fox, I don't think there's many people that could guard him straight up, especially if he's in transition. That is a speed demon. But so we've talked a lot about you in college, and I guess we'll wrap things up here quick soon. Let's talk more about now. You know, like, mm-hmm, you know, you're, and this is a good question. So you weren't like a household name out of high school. You were like 186th prospect in your class. And then you went undrafted, and obviously, but it didn't matter because, I mean, you weren't highly recruited in high school, and then you still balled at Tennessee, one of the best players ever to come out of Tennessee. And then you go undrafted, but then now you're making a name for yourself in Long Island, with Brooklyn, and that whole organization. What kind of mindset do you have, like, not necessarily an underdog, but that keeps you going every day? Because every time it seems like they count you out, you find a way back in.
Yeah, it's just, you know what I'm saying? Like you just said, I was a guy that, you know, it was never highly rated, a guy that was never, you know, on mock drafts or, you know, household names. But, you know, I just want to prove everybody that I can make it up there. You know what I'm saying? Just going in each and every day up here in Long Island, just, you know, getting better, you know what I'm saying? Just working on my game and translating to what I would do, you know, on the NBA level, which I know I will be on someday. And, you know, just got to continue to have a great mindset. My support system is, you know, amazing up here, in the staff, my fiance and my family as well. So everything up here is, you know, it's going in the right direction, and it's all about a matter of time. And, you know, I'll be in the league soon.
Yeah, man, and that's going to be my final question. You kind of knocked it out, you know. Where does Jordan Bowden see himself in a couple years from now?
I will see myself on an NBA roster in a couple years, having a significant role on the team, well, which is that, you know, coming off the bench like I'm used to, or, you know, having a lot of minutes. But it's just, you know, finding my role on the team and perfecting that role each and every day.
Well, man, I got a question for you real quick before we go.
Yeah, go ahead.
What do you do to train your mind? Because I know, you know, like for me, a lot of my biggest problem is I get really excited about something and I go really hard at it and then I find myself burning out. So, like, what do you do on a consistent basis so that you don't burn out?
What do you mean by burnout? Like, what do you mean by that?
Like, what do you do to stay locked in and consistent every single day?
I just go on with the mindset of getting better. Especially, you know, with me having a child on the way, that's an extra motivation, and just providing for my family so that one day they can be set and their families can be set. So it's just, and also for my mother, you know, she sacrificed everything for me growing up, and, you know, just me and my siblings, you know, she made it happen by herself. So just, you know, being able to just continue and to get better each and every day so I can be able to get to the NBA and provide for my family.
Cool, man.
That's awesome. And, you know, then to wrap it up, you know, to be successful, I think, in anything you do, at the end of the day, you got to be a good person. You got to have a good heart.
Yeah.
And I can just tell from our few interactions, the way you talk about it, your child on the way, your fiance, your mother, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff, bro. You just seem like a great guy. So I have no doubt in my mind, and I think Dave would agree with me on this, that we're going to see you on the NBA roster very soon. And thank you. Thank you so much, dude. We really appreciate you coming on with us.
Most definitely, man. Y'all keep doing what y'all doing, man.
Yeah, we're gonna yes, sir. I appreciate you. Thank you so
yes,
much.
Yes, sir.
All right, man.
Take it easy.
Appreciate y'all.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Damn.
Word.
What an interview. That's awesome. I mean, and what I took away from that one, you know, like I said there at the end, if you want to be successful in anything you do, I think at the end of the day, you got to be a good person at heart.
Mm-hmm. And,
you know, you can tell he has – everything he knows what he does, everything he knows why he goes to work every day, and at the end of the day, it's for all good reasons. His fiance, his mom, his daughter on, or his child on the way. I mean, that's, and it speaks volumes. And you know, I'm a huge Jordan Bowden fan now. I am a massive Jordan Bowden fan now. And somewhere, I promise you, I'm getting that jersey as soon as I possibly can. So Jordan, if you're still listening, thank you so much, brother. You have no idea how much it means to the guys here at That Damn Sports Podcast.
No, yeah. I mean, just get good energy from that guy.
Just
the body language, even. Just a smile.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get from guys, because I was scared he might join on and it might be him laying down in his bed with the lights half off and giving us money.
which you get on ESPN, even.
Yeah, exactly. And he's sitting up and he's answering us direct, and he got a great attitude about it, because he didn't have to do this. He's got a game tomorrow, actually. He didn't have to do this, and he did it. And, you know, I think here at That Damn Sports Podcast, we are big Jordan Bowden fans now.
Means a lot.
Yeah. So, wow, man, that's a big one for us there, Dave. This podcast is shooting up. We're taking off. So if you're listening, jump on for the ride, because this podcast, we got more coming here. We got more coming. Trust us. We're not going to give away too much information, but this is just a start, and it's a great start.
And if you are listening to us on Instagram and you're wondering where you can find us on all of the major streaming platforms like Spotify and iTunes and all of that fancy stuff. If you just look up That Damn Sports Podcast.
And when we say
make sure damn, that you subscribe and all of that fancy stuff too.
Yes, and when we say damn, we don't mean the bad word, because we don't care about this podcast.
We do not say bad words.
No, it's D-A-M, stupid. It is D-A-M. It is That D-A-M, Damn Sports Podcast. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and all of your major podcast streaming platforms. If you are listening to the podcast and not on social media, you can find us on all social media. TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Boom, baby! Anyway. Thank y'all so much for listening to That Damn Sports Podcast. We hope y'all enjoyed this one. I know we sure as heck did. And we are going to see you guys next week with an even better, bigger, better, and more awesomer. Yeah, I said it. Surprise next week. Thanks.
Peace.
Bro, thanks again. Love y'all. Peace.